Blog Talk Radio.
He's at the 20, throwing speed, 25, 30, 35. He's got a chance, needs a block. He's in midfield. He's going to take it to the house. See ya, 91 yards. Breaks one tackle. He's got some running room, 30, 35. He could go down the far sideline. I don't think we're going to get him. He's going to have a chance, though. He takes him at the 39. At the 40, comes to the outside. 45, he's at midfield. Runs past the man, 40. He's coming back the other way. He's at the 30. He's at the 25, 20, 15, 10. He may go home, and he does. Holy cow. Kick in the air. LSU wins. I can tell you for sure now, LSU wins.
The sun will soon find its home in the western sky, and it will be Saturday night in Death Valley.
And welcome to Bingle Beat, a Tiger Hype podcast. I am your host, Patrick Fry, and I will be here each week talking LSU football. I am broadcasting live today from Lake Charles, Louisiana, where we are experiencing some gorgeous fall weather this morning. Although the fall doesn't officially begin on the calendar for another week or so, I got the windows open. It feels great outside. It feels great inside. It feels great everywhere. Great football weather. Glad that football's back too. Thank you for tuning in wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Go follow our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, and also our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. Our guest line is 675-383-0294, and it is now open, so feel free to give me a call and join the discussion. We finally get a full game of football for the LSU Tigers last night. They officially got their season kicked off when they traveled to Starkville, Mississippi, where they defeated the Mississippi State Bulldogs and held on for a 21-19 victory. Lots of things to talk about in this game. Mississippi State did have a chance to win the game. They were down early 21-6, but Devon Bell missed a 52-yard field goal wide right as time expired, and LSU was able to escape with the victory. I was watching that game last night. Oh, man. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't sit still. I couldn't stand still. I was, you know, and we're going to go into more depth about what happened during this game. Leonard Fournette had a career-high 28 carries, 159 yards, and scored all three touchdowns for the Tigers last night. LSU increased its school record streak of season-opening wins to 13 now and beat Mississippi State for the 15th time in their last 16 meetings. Les Miles, cool little factoid here, earned his 100th win while coaching a ranked LSU team. He's 128 since 2005, his first year at LSU. Starting his second career game, quarterback Brandon Harris. He only completed 9 of 14 passes for 71 yards. He also ran 5 times for 48 yards and was only sacked 1 time. A lot of people talking about how they didn't really open up the playbook, and maybe that wasn't the game plan. They opened it up a little bit more in the first half, and they were up 14-3 at halftime. Still opened it up somewhat in the third quarter, but it was basically opened up as far as Leonard Fournette is concerned. They gave Fournette the ball 28 times, 159 yards, but of course, you know, he's getting those kind of yards. Why not keep giving him the football? But we'll get into the play calling in a little more in a little bit. The LSU defense, they started off playing real well, and they kind of, you know, started giving up a little more yardage towards the end. They bottled up Prescott and the Bulldogs for the better part of the first 3 quarters of the game. They only allowed a pair of field goals in the first 45 minutes of action. The Tigers sacked Prescott 3 times, and linebacker Deion Jones, he had a fantastic game. He led the way with a career-best 12 tackles. Linebacker Kendall Beckwith had 11 tackles, and then safety Dwayne Thomas, 10 tackles. Both of those also career-high in games. The Tigers' defense did a great job of stopping Dak Prescott's running game in the first half and somewhat of his passing game. Dak Prescott ended up throwing for over 300 yards, but last year in Tiger Stadium when Dak Prescott came in there, it was his legs that kind of hurt the Tigers. He did run for over 100 yards, but the Tigers, obviously on defense, their strategy was to limit the mobility of Dak Prescott last night, and they did a very good job of that. Unfortunately for the Tiger defense, they somewhat forgot about the arm of Dak Prescott, and he nearly he did score the LSU defense and nearly led the comeback. Neither team turned the ball over, and that's great news for the offense. You know, you want to talk about the play calling of the offense. if LSU does not turn the ball over, they will win more games than, you know, any other team that runs that kind of offense, just running the ball and not passing it. LSU has, luckily, the running back and the offensive line to where, and the defense also, to where they can just run the ball that many times and not turn the ball over and still get out of an SEC West team on the road, get out of there with a victory. So neither team turned the ball over. LSU outgained Mississippi State 378 total offense to 337. Mississippi State actually had a 158-73-yard advantage in the fourth quarter. The Tigers had two first-half touchdowns that were called back by penalties. They had the deep throw to Traven Doral wide open. Man, I was ecstatic that Brandon Harris, the first touchdown was going to be a deep pass from Brandon Harris. Then they called it back. Also, another long run from Leonard Fournette was called back. So those kind of bothered me a little bit in the first half that, you know, we get these chances to score, and they keep being called back due to penalties. I think I saw that LSU had nine total penalties for 90 or 95 yards. So certainly an area of improvement that LSU wants to focus on. LSU did outrush Mississippi State 266-43. I looked at Dak Prescott's rushing yards. He had like minus 19 or 29 yards because he was sacked three times. Three defensive linemen all got to him. Even Arden Key got to him. Arden Key, we talked about him a lot in the preseason about how he was going to make an immediate impact, and he did last night. He got his first career sack on Dak Prescott last night. Mississippi State outpassed LSU. LSU outrushed Mississippi State 266-43. Mississippi State out threw LSU 335-71. So while the rushing was in very much favor of LSU, the passing was in very much a favor Mississippi State. Hopefully LSU – well, LSU is going to have to open up the passing game much more next week against Auburn. And when Auburn comes into town, we will preview that game coming up in just a little bit here on Bengal Beat. The second largest crowd in Davis Wade Stadium history, 62,531 paid to see this game. And I tell you what, everyone in that stadium, as well as anyone watching on ESPN, got their money's worth last night. Leonard Fournette said it best last night after the game. It wasn't supposed to be that close. Les Miles also said that they called the same stuff in the first half as they did in the second half. And he, quote, didn't see anything different, to be honest. Well, Coach Miles might have not seen anything different from the first half to the second half, but the fans sure did. They saw a great team in the first half, and then they saw a lackluster team in the second half, both offensively and then somewhat defensively. You know, LSU was playing great defense through three quarters of the game, only allowing those two field goals. And then all of a sudden, I think we kind of started to back off a little bit, and Dak Prescott was getting these quick throws off, and even those quick throws, some of them, you know, missed tackles were turning into yards after the catch, and it was quite painful to watch that LSU defense in the fourth quarter this past game. But, you know, hopefully they improve on that next week and the defense can, you know, kind of keep their foot on the opponent's throat and put them away whenever they had the chance. LSU could have put them away when they were up 21-6. Unfortunately, Mississippi State made their way back into the game, but LSU ended up prevailing. So let's talk about the conservative play calling. That was really the most painful thing to watch. You know, at one point, LSU's up 21-6, and, you know, and I understand you have Leonard Fournette in the backfield, and you want to keep feeding him the ball because he did have 159 yards, three touchdowns. Obviously, he pretty much single-handedly won the game for us, but, you know, you keep giving the ball to Leonard Fournette, and eventually you got to at least, you know, surprise the defense because everybody – in that stadium knows when Leonard Fournette's getting the football. So, and the one thing that they did run last night that I saw that did have some success was the read option where Brandon Harris would keep it. Brandon Harris did have 48 yards rushing. So, you know, a read option where you have Leonard Fournette in the backfield, everybody, all 11 guys on the opposing team probably think that Fournette's getting it. And, you know, of course you got to make a good read too. And if they go after Fournette, hey, keep that ball in. Let's get 5 or 10 yards, get a first down. You know, it's certainly something I would love to see going forward. Brandon Harris, a keeper, because Brandon Harris can run. We've seen it every time he held onto the ball. We had a big gain. So the conservative play calling, and, you know, it's nothing different than last year. Last year we saw the same thing. And I'm just hoping that the coaching staff will realize that this game plan that they used last night, you know, they did – that game plan did lead them to victory, even though they barely got out of Starkville last night. But I just have a feeling that that same game plan will not work against an Auburn or an Alabama or even a Texas A&M and maybe not even an Arkansas or a Florida, you know, or even on the road to South Carolina. So I'm hoping that the coaching staff makes the adjustments they need to make to where next week, you know, we will be able to throw the ball a lot more and, you know, let's see what this offense can do. I know we got skill at the wide receiver position. I know we have potential at the quarterback, and I know we have tight ends. You know, we talked about trying to get the tight ends. Deshaun Smith last night had a great catch early. He talked about how the tight ends want to play a bigger role in this offense as far as receiving goes. So, you know, hey, we got talent all around the quarterback. If we can get the ball to that talent at wide receiver like Doral and Dupree and D'Arce and tight end like Jeter and then Deshaun Smith, let them do the rest. You know, just get the ball to them, let them do the rest. Great athletes we have at the skill position on offense. Now, with the great game that Leonard Fournette had last night, there is some talk about where he stands in the Heisman Trophy talk. You got guys like Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Trevon Boykin, Braxton Miller, and Ezekiel Elliott, who are also in the Heisman race as well. So guys that are kind of coming out of nowhere. All right, well, I am back. Had a little technical difficulty there. I do apologize for that. My phone line went out for some unknown reason, a little problem with the Wi-Fi, but we are back and connected now. We were talking about Leonard Fournette. Where does he fit into the Heisman Trophy race? Right now you got guys like Trevon Boykin, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick Chubb, Braxton Miller. They all have, especially Braxton Miller. Braxton Miller, you know, the transition from quarterback to wide receiver, he's done great. And the fact that maybe Fournette only is one game behind as far as statistically, maybe that could hurt him a little bit in the early going for now. Like I said, I would have him in the top 10, maybe not so much the top 5 yet, but if he continues at this pace against SEC West teams and SEC teams and basically anybody they play, I mean, we know he's going to get big numbers against an Eastern Michigan or a Western Kentucky or a Syracuse, but if he continues to do things like this against SEC West teams, then I certainly expect to at least see Leonard Fournette in New York City come December for the Heisman Trophy ceremony. Yeah, had a little technical difficulty there. I don't know what happened. My phone line went out, but hopefully I'm back on the air now. Tomorrow, Les Miles weekly press conference. If you didn't get enough from him in the post game, tomorrow he'll have the weekly press conference where he'll probably talk a little bit about the Mississippi State game and going forward Auburn. That is tomorrow at 12:30. Also, anybody who's curious to see the replay of the game, it will air this afternoon at 4 p.m. on the SEC Network. And that's if you aren't watching the Saints, because the Saints start today. So for all you Saints fans out there this afternoon, taking on the Arizona Cardinals. At the end of the day, the Tigers get the win on the road in the SEC West. So I'll take it and run. Let's improve where we need to and get ready for Auburn this week. We will preview them coming up in a bit. But now we are going to get a little recap of the top 25. Number one, Ohio State defeated Hawaii 38-0. Ezekiel Elliott, one of the Heisman Trophy candidates we talked about, 27 carries, 101 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Ohio State, easy win there. They will continue to be favorites in every game they play this year. Then you have Alabama, who moved up to number two after the convincing win against Wisconsin last week. They defeated Middle Tennessee State 37-10. Derrick Henry, another Heisman Trophy candidate, yesterday had 18 carries, 96 yards, 3 touchdowns. So Derrick Henry continuing to do what he does. TCU, number three, they fell back to number three after they kind of struggled somewhat a little bit with Minnesota on the opening night of the season. They dominated Stephen F. Austin yesterday, 70-7. Trevon Boykin, another Heisman candidate, 18 for 27, 285 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Baylor, number four, they defeated Lamar 66 231. Seth Russell, one of those guys I mentioned a little bit earlier, he's expected to kind of come up, you know, under the radar, maybe get into the Heisman talk. He was 23 for 34, 342 yards and four touchdowns against Lamar yesterday. The big game of the week in week two, Michigan State defeated Oregon 31-28. Huge win for Michigan State at home, defeating Oregon. They're going to now get ready for the Big Ten, and that's a huge win right there, because now that'll make the game against Ohio State that much more important and that much more anticipated, because Michigan State got through Oregon, so now let's see what they could do against a little bit better team like Ohio State. But that game's not until November, so a lot of football to be played between now and then. An interesting game yesterday in the morning slate, number six, Auburn. They come to town next week. They escape Jacksonville State in overtime, 27-20. Jeremy Johnson threw two interceptions, and he has now five on the year. So Jeremy Johnson struggling throwing interceptions so far this year. And you have number eight, USC. They defeat Idaho 59-9. Cody Kessler, 26 for 31, 410 yards, three touchdowns. Another guy who is somewhat in the mix of the Heisman talk. Then you have Notre Dame. They got away from Virginia 34-27. Malik Zaire out for the season with a broken ankle. The backup comes in, throws a touchdown pass with 12 seconds left. Notre Dame gets away from Virginia 34-27. Then you have number 10, Georgia. They defeated Vanderbilt 31-14. Number 11, Florida State defeats South Florida 34-14. Clemson handles Appalachian State 41-10. Number 13, UCLA handles UNLV 37-3. Georgia Tech runs over Louisiana School Tulane 65-10. And then number 16, Texas A&M, they got the best of Ball State 56-23. Ole Miss hangs 70 for the second week in a row, defeating Fresno State 73-21. Arkansas falls to Toledo. That's a huge upset right there. Arkansas, number 18, they will no longer be ranked. They fell to Toledo 16-12. So Arkansas, one of those teams that was kind of expected to have a very much improved year, but not very good for the Razorbacks as they fall to Toledo yesterday 16-12. Number 19, Oklahoma wins a thriller in Knoxville over number 23, Tennessee, 31-24 in double overtime. Oklahoma outscored the Vols 28-7 in the fourth quarter and overtime. Tennessee jumped out 17-0. I was watching that game, and I was very impressed with how Tennessee jumped out. But, man, that's a tough one to swallow for Tennessee. They had Oklahoma defeated. They held them to just 3 points through the first three quarters. Heartbreaking loss for Tennessee. Number 20, Boise State. They go down to BYU, the magic of BYU, 35-24. 2 weeks in a row, last week BYU, they get the miracle Hail Mary to beat Nebraska. This week on a 4th-and-7, I think. I was watching this a late game last night. I'm watching this game 4th-and-7. And once again, BYU heaves up a pass to the end zone about 40-something yards, comes down with it, and BYU did get a pick six right after that. They ran away 35-24. Number 21, Missouri, they got by Arkansas State 27-20. 22, Arizona defeats Nevada 44-20. Utah, number 24, they defeat their rivals Utah State 24-14. Now, we're going to preview the Auburn Tigers. The Auburn Tigers are 2-0. In week one, they defeated Louisville 31-24. Then, of course, yesterday, Jacksonville State, they took overtime, but they defeated Jacksonville State 27-20 in overtime. Now, Auburn may be 2-0, but their team statistics certainly do not have the look of a 2-0 team. Through the first 2 weeks of the season, Auburn ranks 97th in total offense with 364 yards a game. They rank 70th in rushing offense with 177.5 yards a game, 93rd in passing offense with only 186.5 yards per game. And then you look at the defensive side of the football, 88th in total defense. They're allowing 421.5 yards a game, and they 96th in rushing defense, giving up 199.5 yards a game, nearly 200. And then 80th in passing defense, giving up 222 yards per game. Now, the two areas that do concern me a little bit, I was looking at the statistics earlier this morning. Auburn is 36th in team passing efficiency defense and also 18th in red zone defense. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the LSU if the LSU passing game can get something going, because this passing efficiency defense of Auburn is ranked 36th in the country. Not the best, but, you know, certainly good enough to maybe give Brandon Harris a little bit of trouble in the passing game. Also, 18th in the red zone defense. I know sometimes LSU gets down to the red zone, and that's when they just run. And I'm afraid, even though Auburn's defense is ranked 96th in rushing defense, you know, when LSU gets down into the red zone, they're going to know who's going to be getting the ball, and, you know, ranked 18th in the country in red zone defense. So it'll be interesting to see how Les Miles game plans for whenever he gets down into the red zone against Auburn. Peyton Barber, the Auburn running back, has been the man running the football already with 244 rushing yards and a score this season. So Auburn's getting it done on the ground with one guy. Normally they have, you know, multiple guys that can get it done, but now it's just Barber, because now they're in a situation with where Jeremy Johnson throwing all these interceptions. They will start relying on him more and more, somewhat like LSU relies on Leonard Fournette to run the football, even though Brandon Harris hasn't thrown five interceptions. So could be a sloppy game, but neither team has seemed to found their rhythm just yet. The game will kick off at 2:30 on CBS. Vern Lundquist, Gary Danielson, and the crew will be on the call for that one. It's a game that way back in the spring I had circled, because I originally had Auburn winning the SEC. Back during the summer, before we even saw any football being played, I had Auburn not only winning the SEC but going to the playoff. I don't think I had them winning at all, but I certainly had much higher expectations of Auburn than what they've been playing. So it'll be an interesting game, LSU and Auburn, this coming week. Tiger Stadium, 2:30 afternoon kickoff, CBS. And all you LSU fans know out there, anytime we're playing on 2:30 CBS, especially against an SEC West team, you never know what's going to happen. Those afternoon games, a lot of crazy things happen. And I'm hoping that, like I said, the game plan from this past week is obviously going to be different than the game plan going into the Auburn game. And I'm hoping that the, you know, LSU coaches make the adjustments necessary to be able to get a victory against Auburn, because, you know, we got away with a victory last night, 21-19, and a lot of people are not really happy about it. But at the end of the day, like I said, it's a win against an SEC West team on the road. You take it how you get it, and you run with it, and, you know, you improve for the next week. In this case, it's Auburn. And the good thing about, you know, if we get through Auburn, we don't play another SEC West team until November the 7th, Alabama. So after Auburn, we get five consecutive non-SEC West teams. And I think that's going to be the time where LSU will have a chance to get a rhythm going. If they don't get a rhythm going against Auburn, you know, they might not. You know, they may look sloppy again against Auburn and somehow get the victory, which I'm completely fine with, because it is Auburn. I had high expectations of Auburn coming into this season. And my original prediction way back in the spring was that LSU would go 10-2. We would have defeated McNeese State, which, of course, that game didn't happen. We would have lost to Mississippi State and then Auburn, and then reel off nine consecutive wins at the end of the season. But we did beat Mississippi State last night. So very, very anticipated matchup with Auburn in Tiger Stadium. I was hoping that College Game Day would be coming to Baton Rouge this week, but they will be going to Tuscaloosa, where Ole Miss will be taking on Alabama, and Alabama will be looking for revenge in that game. So that's another SEC West game to watch. I have a feeling this year, with what I'm seeing so far, the SEC West could come down once again, as it always has come down to, for the most part, LSU and Alabama. But then again, Auburn's still in the mix. Auburn's still undefeated. They just haven't been playing very impressive in their first two games. But you never know. Auburn can turn on the jets this Saturday at LSU and look much better, which I hope they don't, because I certainly don't want Auburn to come. I certainly wouldn't want Auburn to find their mojo this Saturday in Tiger Stadium. Hopefully they wait until the week after the Final Eight. I'm hoping LSU gets their mojo this week, which I think they will. I honestly believe that the game, not having that game against McNeese State, certainly had an effect on, you know, how the Tigers played throughout four quarters. You know, now that we've played a four quarter game, we know what we got to do to, you know, keep it going for four quarters, because I felt like last night LSU, they had it going for, you know, two and a half, three quarters, and then they kind of let off the gas a little bit and just played conservative, which is, of course, what they've been known to do as of late. And it's unfortunate that we have the quarterback situation that we do, because if we didn't have the quarterback situation that we do, that we would certainly be passing the ball more on third down late in games to seal the deal. Instead, we're just running the ball three times, punting it, giving guys like Dak Prescott a chance to win the ball game. That's the last guy you want to give a chance to win the ball game to, is Dak Prescott. But fortunately, the LSU defense made plays when they had to, won the game, and, you know, now we got to get ready for Auburn next week. Big game next week, 2:30, CBS. Like I said, crazy things happen on those CBS games. So I'm expecting a hard-fought game next week. I'm expecting a sloppy game. Honestly, I'd be surprised if this game would get to maybe 20 points, because both defenses are going to be playing well. It's always a hard-fought defensive game when LSU and Auburn play each other. I'm going to go ahead and give an official prediction now. Of course, I'm going to predict LSU to win the game. I'm going to predict LSU to win this ball game. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good score here. I'm going to say LSU pulls this game out 20-16 next week at home against Auburn. Then we go on the road to Syracuse. It's about time for me to wrap it up here, folks. But thanks again for tuning in. Remember to like our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, as well as our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. Join us again next weekend for another edition of Bengal Beat, as we will recap LSU's game against Auburn and look ahead to their road trip at Syracuse in a couple of weeks. Until then, have a good week and go Tigers.